Welcome to Paradise Found. I'm sure many listeners have read or have heard about the famous book, Paradise Lost, from the 17th century English poet John Milton. It is an epic poem in blank verse. The poem concerns the biblical story of the fall of man, the temptation of Adam and Eve by Satan, and the expulsion from the Garden of Eden. In this podcast, I present a viewpoint claiming the story of Adam and Eve is allegorical, and the paradise of Eden is a metaphor for the entire earth. So next time you are in your favorite place, close your eyes and imagine a paradise. Then open your eyes and realize that you have found it. Then consider what is causing our entire planet to not be a paradise. You will conclude the obvious, which is all the negative, evil actions of many, many, many people as the root cause. It's time to start working together, maximizing unity and expanding on the subject by discussing realistic and effective solutions. You can find more information in the directory of all my podcasts as they are released under my website for my book with the same title at www.paradisefoundbook.com. The book is divided into 12 chapters named after the months of the year with four podcast episodes per chapter.
Soldiers, Pompey and the Senate have formally declared that Gaius Julius Caesar is an enemy of Rome. They have declared that I am a criminal. They have declared, in effect, that all of you also are criminals. Tribune's veto was not exercised. People's Tribune Mark Antony and 50 men of the 13th were assaulted by 1,000 head of Pompeian scum. A tribune of the plebs assaulted on the steps of the Senate House. Can you imagine a more terrible sacrilege? Our beloved Republic is in the hands of madmen. This is a dark day. And I stand at a fork in the road. I can abide the law and surrender my arms to the Senate and watch the Republic fall to tyranny and chaos. Or I can go home with my sword in my hand and run those maniacs to the Tarpeian Rock! Yeah! Yeah! Legionary Titus Pullo, step forward. Titus Pullo! And 50 brave men of the 13th fought Pompey's 1,000 in the Forum and saved the Tribune! It was legionary Titus Pullo drew first blood! Here's 500 denarii!
Very grateful, sir.
Are you with me, Titus Pullo? Will you come with me to Rome?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Certainly. Titus Pullo is with me. And you? Are you with me?
Welcome to Paradise Found, March, week number 2. And the title of this episode is A Globalist Hell. Okay, so for this intro in this episode, I was thinking of the Ides of March, which is the day that Julius Caesar was assassinated on March 15th in 44 BC. And what you just heard is Sirion Hynes playing Caesar in the TV miniseries called Rome. Caesar has just conquered the region of Gaul, which is modern-day France, and the Roman Senate demanded he disband his army and return home as a civilian. Caesar refused and returned to Rome, and he started what is called Caesar's Civil War. The Roman army, led with another general named Pompey, was defeated by Caesar and Brutus and Cassius, Caesar's would-be two main assassins, fought with Pompey. As Caesar defeated Pompey, Caesar took Brutus and Cassius and others into his army, and the now successful Caesar had a position of unchallenged power. Brutus and Cassius would form a group called the Liberators, or Liberators, who would then assassinate Caesar. Caesar began a program of social and government reforms, including the creation of the Julian calendar, and he gave citizenship to many residents of far-off regions of the Roman Republic. He initiated land reform and supported the veterans. He centralized the bureaucracy of the Republic and was eventually proclaimed a dictator for life. Some historians argue that the main reason why he was assassinated was because he had too much power. Rome was a republic, and they argued that Caesar was destroying it. But after the assassination, they tried to restore the republic and failed. Then it became the Roman Empire. I really question whether or not Caesar was harmful to the republic. After all, all of his successes, could it have been that the elitists that made up the Roman Senate and the other important leaders were not really doing anything constructive to help the Romans, but enjoyed their place in power? They despised Caesar, whom they fought against with Pompey, and Caesar was really showing great successes. It makes more sense to me that the liberators, who were all elites, were jealous of Caesar. They no longer felt in control and wanted it back. He was very popular with the lower and middle class, and gaining even more people who he would make citizens. Why would the Roman Senate want him to give up his leadership? During that time, if a leader developed a large following, it gave him the power to amass an army, so then they could take over power. There are many, many civil wars and unrest throughout Roman history. Anytime there was a group of people in control, jealousy and hate overtook their reason. They should have embraced the fact that Caesar was succeeding, and he provided them to be part of it, even though they fought against him with Pompey. You may have guessed where I'm going with this, but I am really going to argue that Trump is sort of a modern-day Caesar, and the deep state and the globalists are modern-day Roman upper-class elitists. Although not perfect of an analogy, but I believe that Trump is leading us in a righteous direction, whereas the global elitists are leading to our demise. I know that there are a lot of Trump haters who will not want this, but we must face reality. The time to start creating a Democratic Party and the vision of JFK is now. I'm going to go ahead and use the abbreviation of PDSG again, and that stands for Progressive Deep State Globalists, which basically includes everyone in the United States that is not a MAGA supporter and are the global elitists, especially those vested in the World Economic Forum, WEF, created by Klaus Schwab. I'm going to show that the WEF is a corrupt bunch of individuals that are taking credit for the inventions by pushing a political agenda which will lead creating a hell on earth, and it's called the Great Reset. And I will show you some of the scientific research and technological developments coming from this so-called fourth industrial revolution are improvements on existing inventions and others that are completely insane, useless ideas which will be destructive to humanity. What I mean by hell on earth is basically the polar opposite of my definition of a paradise. The exception is the fact that it would still be a hell if the WEF satisfied 6 of the 7 criteria I laid out requiring the earth to be a paradise, which is the one where a paradise serves the people to become spiritually enlightened. We truly have everything we need after the third industrial revolution, which was the digital age. The fourth industrial revolution is sort of a fantasy made up by these elitists. Most, if not all, of the ideas are either to distance people from manual labor, escape into a virtual reality, or dream of space travel and settlement and re-engineering life, artificial intelligence, and prolonging life. We've created so much automation already, and I believe we have reached a point where it's best to leave work to the hands of human beings. Not only is it more cost-effective, but it provides a sense of worth for people for a job. I don't have backward thinking in this regard, but we need to realize that we may be going overboard on automation. Like in the last episode, I said we need many, many small family organic farms, not big, large, industrial, automated ones with robots. The 2020 election proved that voting machines need to be trash, and hand-counted elections have far more integrity, transparency, and actually cost less. I have no doubt in my mind that the metaverse will go down in history as the most destructive invention to humanity. I laid out a possible scenario from this in the last episode, and I will discuss it more here. We will never be able, nor would we ever want to, travel outside our solar system. It is physically impossible to make a large mass, like a spaceship, go the speed of light. No atom or molecule can ever go faster than the speed of light. It's a physical constant of nature, and we haven't a clue where a possible Earth-like planet exists. On top of that, what if we go to heaven after we die and live eternally? We go onto a higher level, and we just are spiritual embryos now. Why do we insist on escaping? And with little concern of protecting and preserving the paradise of Earth for us and future generations. By trying to re-engineer the perfection of the paradise of Earth and all living things God created will not advance humanity. It will only create more artificial molecules, which we have no way of knowing could be harmful to life. Do you really want labs to create more viruses like COVID-19? Schwab is quoted on saying that COVID-19 pandemic presented a unique opportunity to push his WEF agenda further. How convenient. Did the first, second, and third industrial revolution have an organization like the WEF to announce its arrival and have world leaders come to summit meetings, like some sort of promotional sales meeting to show how to and try to hook people into buying, for example, into a timeshare? No, there wasn't. Great inventors invented and the working class people developed them. Then elitists wrote about them. Now we have the Schwab, Bill Gates, and others who think they can take credit for all these great inventions which even some of haven't really even been developed yet. Like the liberators who assassinated Caesar, they will go into the ash heap of history. And yes, their names need to go on future high school history books, so we do not ever get duped again. I hope first the all-knowing artificial intelligent computer is developed. It will prove the existence of God, and we want to advance medicine to improve the quality of life. Technology will never be able to make us immortal. We already are, but our biological robot bodies are not. We just have to expose the globalists, who they are and what they intend to do. When enough people become aware that the WEF is doing what they are doing, Schwab will have to apply for a job as the next evil mad scientist in the next James Bond film. Klaus Schwab, Prince, now King Charles, come from upper elite class, as well as everybody in the WEF. They do not speak to the working class. They do not live in reality. So, Mr. Schwab is claiming that there's going to be a fourth industrial revolution. The term industrial revolution was used because of the sweeping changes from the inventions had on our lives. So these inventions must be revolutionary, but I will show you some of them are not. We are in a moment of time when there will be no longer any revolutionary scientific discoveries. Embracing the inventions that Schwab and others promote will create the globalist hell. Many will say that I'm being behind the times and that science has just begun and there will be another fourth industrial revolution and it's going to be absolutely wonderful. No, I'm really not. Let's just go through the list of possible inventions what this revolution is supposedly working on. First, let's discuss the inventions that came out of the first, second, and third revolutions. The first includes harnessing electricity, spinning and weaving, the steam engine, telephone, and the internal combustion engine. The second includes the light bulb, assembly line, automobile, aircraft, and railroads. You will notice that the second really is building up from the first. And there wasn't a big, huge step of revolutionary discoveries, but there definitely was a big change there, but there wasn't a big jump. But the third, the digital, which I think there was a big jump for the third industrial revolution, and that included computers, robotics, and I think that was a big change. And I really think that Steve Jobs was sort of the Nikola Tesla of that revolution. The fourth is supposedly called the technological revolution, and its inventions include robotics, AI, nanotechnology, quantum computing, biotech, Internet of Things, industrial Internet of Things, fifth generation wireless, 3D printing, and fully autonomous vehicles. What I want to discuss here is inventions from these categories are either improvements from existing inventions or inventions that will not ever be used or inventions that are very destructive to humanity. The bar to qualify to be revolutionary should be set high. You can argue that we are going through a fourth industrial revolution, but Schwab and his company are ushering in a lot of inventions with the righteous ones that will lead to our demise. Improved robotics, internet improvement, transportation, manufacturing improvements, are some of the righteous fourth industrial revolution inventions. Robotics is already extremely sophisticated and will improve. Right away, we can take this off of Schwab's fourth and put it into the third revolution. Ever since the first industrial revolution, manufacturing companies have developed all sorts of machines, and after the third revolution, this kicked up in the high gear, combining digital to mechanic-sized machines or robots. What about artificial intelligence? I say go ahead, and I hope Mr. Schwab develops a great scientist probably will develop a computer, an all-knowing computer like HAL in the film 2001 Space Odyssey, and then we'll listen to this computer, and it'll probably give proof that there is God, and it'll probably lecture us that God exists. So the effect of developing AI will be revolutionary. Actually, this will be something revolutionary. It will cause people to put more faith into God and protect and preserve the paradise of Earth. Nanotechnology is basically glorified chemistry. It's a result of improved microscopes and ability to create, you know, all sorts of molecules. And scientists are making these bizarre molecules like the fullerene nano gears. And I mean, there is no use for having microscopic molecules that are shaped in the form of gears. Or how about rhotoxane? And it supposedly acts like a electronic switch. And there's just not a single thing, all these, you know, molecules will do to serve humanity. And because they are not made from nature, who really knows how toxic they may be to living things? Okay, so from what I've read about the quantum computer, it's an entirely different structure than a digital computer, and it may be able to solve certain problems it cannot. Problem is that they don't list any problems a quantum computer has solved than a digital computer has not. Here's basically another dead end, in my opinion. Problem with these scientists is we are going to learn that everything we need to know about atoms and molecules and their ideas and inventions are useless. At this point, you might realize there isn't going to be an industrial revolution. There's really going to be a spiritual revolution. We're just going to improve the technology we've already invented. Rather than wasting our time listening to Schwab, we'd rather see him petting a big white house cat in the next Bond film. The definition of biotechnology is the utilization of a biotechnological system to make products. So it is claimed that the cultivation of plants may be viewed as the earliest biotechnological enterprise. The American Chemical Society defines biotechnology as the application of biological organisms, systems, or processes by various industries to learning about the science of life and the improvement of the value of materials and organisms such as pharmaceuticals, crops, and livestock. Ask yourself, so if you can get all the pharmaceuticals, crops, and livestock products that you need today, then really why is there a need to study this branch much further? What new inventions in this branch of science is going to qualify for the fourth industrial revolution? And really the answer is nothing, but they continue creating useless chemicals which we have not an idea of their harm or what they will do in our paradise. We've banned DDT and Roundup, and now it's time that all these chemicals created by biotechnology and remove this, reduce the study of this science from academia. So again, another one of Schwab's fantasies are exposed as junk science. But what if we allow biotechnology to thrive with Schwab's fourth industrial revolution? What inventions would you expect to see from this branch of science? There's only one answer. There's many more chemicals. Our paradise does not need any more chemicals. It is perfect the way it is. The only righteous area in the study of biotechnology is to react to some negative manifestations that come from nature, like viruses from nature, not man-made ones from like COVID, or finding ways to control invasive species by non-chemical means. As you can imagine, the molecular world is so complex and random, you can go insane thinking about it. You may think the science is going somewhere, but it's really not. Best way for us is to lead long, healthy, rewarding lives and to get out into the fresh air, eat well, and get plenty of exercise in our paradise. We have a future, but it will neither be in our biological robot bodies boarding the Starship Enterprise. It's entering the metaphysical world of heaven, and the requirement is to live a righteous life and learning to harness the power of love. A hippie walking around chanting peace and love is not living a righteous life, because he or she really is not disconnecting from the physical universe. Indulging in sex, drugs, and rock and roll is a diversion, and the distances you are from really learning the energy of love, you are caught up in this hate towards the establishment of people who disagree with you, and it's time to let it go. So Schwab created the WEF in 1971, and he's been preaching this crap ever since. It should be patently clear this guy is a lunatic. He's not an inventor. He's just their water boy. He deserves no recognition, and we must reel in all the world leaders away from this insanity. Again, there will be no cheerleaders for all the other so-called industrial revolutions. So what we really need to have to question is why the globalists are pushing a fourth industrial revolution without really inventing anything. It's a simple matter to call and let your political leader that you will not support your country's support and participation with the WEF. The more the people become more informed, we will welcome the demise of the WEF and move towards creating our paradise. Reason why this fourth industrial revolution will create this globalist hell is because it will lead humanity down a path of no return. We all need to do that is put a 100% focus on protecting and preserving the paradise of Earth. Which would you prefer to do? Would you rather go out to your favorite place with your friends and family, or getting an experimental vaccine shot from a virus created from a biotechnology lab? So the globalists really lived a silver spoon life, like the prince, now King Charles, and Klaus Schwab. They think they're so important that they can rule over the world. They are not, and they really need to be defeated. They are truly full of themselves and detached from reality, and we do not have to support them. They never talk specifics and send out all these insane generalities that, given support, get implemented by people unclear about what to do. There is no direction, no specifics, and these people are allowed to continue to have power like the Roman Senate in 44 BC, and we are all doomed for failure. The PDSGs are simply leaders of a cult and are disingenuous to everyone. Ignore them. I cannot also stress the fact that the globalists really do not know what they are doing. They are backseat scientists and inventors. They pretend to be in their league, so some of the inventions they promote are truly helpful, but many are not and are very destructive. The Internet of Things and the Industrial Internet of Things is basically mechanisms communicating and being controlled by the Internet. The former is mechanisms you see possibly in your home, while the latter is used in industry. Much of this is already here and is improving. The fifth generation wireless is basically a much improved wireless technology, so internets will become more accessible and faster. This is helpful for humanity, so I would say this is righteous. But I can't say anything bad about having 3D printing. Sounds cool to me, but it won't be something that will change people's lives. Finally, there is much hype about autonomous vehicles or self-driving cars. I believe it is a fantasy to think to have self-driving trucks. We will forever have truck drivers because the weight of a very large truck, it is impossible to stop the threat of a serious collision, and there is no way to prevent a serious accident. All electronics have glitches, and computer systems may even be able to hack these autonomous trucks. So I wouldn't rule out any of the possible other transportation improvements. I think self-driving pods for commuters that may be so lightweight, almost like bumper cars, that are impossible to have a serious accident, might be a good idea. They might go a little slower, but perhaps they could have a workstation or a place you can relax or even maybe take a nap on your way to work. And high-speed rail and hyperloop trains show some promise in that they would reduce the need for air travel, which is a big carbon polluter. Finally, this is an idea which is proof that sometimes less automation is far better, and that is to build many more bike paths. This gives people both transportation and is very beneficial for their health. In addition, there are many new inventions like electric bicycles and people can use to get around. This reduces the need for using your car. I live near Santa Cruz, and I actually became politically involved with an issue in this regard. North of Highway 1, it's actually going west, but it's there was an abandoned cement manufacturing plant in the small town of Davenport. There was a rail line, which also is abandoned, which was used to haul cement from Davenport to the city of Watsonville, south of Santa Cruz. And then it would get loaded onto trucks and distributed. This rail line was purchased by the city, and the state of California gave the county $11 million of taxpayer money under the condition that they must use this rail line for passenger rail. They knew many people would want a bike path, so they developed a plan for both. The problem was is the cost of having both was going to be cost well over $1 billion. And there was at most several hundred people who would use the train regularly. It was not a location with a lot of commuters. A large number of people who live in Santa Cruz County commute what we call over the hill to San Jose in the Bay Area. So this idea of a passenger rail was truly idiotic. Notice that the fact that the state used $11 million of taxpayer money to make this decision. So the government of California was making the decision on how to spend the people's money. So many people, myself included, wanted to forget about using the train. and build a bike path over the removed tracks. The cost was well under 5% of the cost of having a passenger rail and a bike path built parallel to the tracks. As a civil engineer, my expertise was in water, so I proposed the idea that right after we remove the tracks, we would install underground utilities. By the way, removing the tracks costs absolutely nothing because the salvage value of all the steel of all the rails was worth well over $2 million. There's a sewage treatment plant in Santa Cruz and Watsonville, and both treat up to 10 million gallons a day of raw sewage. Watsonville recycles about half of their wastewater, and Santa Cruz dumps all of it into the ocean. If a pipeline was built between the two cities on the rail corridor, the water could be injected into the groundwater basin and prevent saltwater intrusion from ever occurring. Most of the water people use in Santa Cruz County along the coast comes from underground wells, so everyone is very, very concerned that they will overuse the groundwater during a drought. Once the groundwater dips below the sea level, saltwater seeps inland, and the potable water wells become contaminated. You might think that the treated wastewater will also contaminate the wells, but they will not. The water was so close to the ocean that the water will seep towards the ocean and into the ocean. Instead of polluting the ocean, what they do now with a pipeline, the water would remain underground where it would get fully treated. The usefulness of this idea would easily pay to resurface the rail corridor into a spectacular 25-mile-long bike path along a very beautiful area along the California coast. Reason why I'm using this example, because it is not using inventions or science. It's simply reorganizing and improving existing infrastructure for the betterment of humanity. Someday, with serious drought and a higher population, the saltwater intrusion could happen, and the results would be devastating. But the main point I want to make by sharing this is that we do not need to be impressed by some new scientific discovery or a new invention that is going to solve everything. In addition, we cannot rely on political leaders to make the right financial decisions with our money. The people should have been furious at the state of California by playing games with that $11 million, pretending it was all theirs to spend and whatever agenda they preferred to push. In a nutshell, this is a huge problem in American politics today, and I'm sure the same thing happens in other countries. The best way to make financial decisions is to be honest, unbiased, and do cost-benefit analysis on the best options. In this example above, that was never done. Instead, 10 years went by of meetings that were sort of like dog and pony shows, and all you really have to do is these cost-benefit analysis and present it to the people and have them vote on which option they prefer to go with. The absolute must is to make it clear that the public it is their money that is going to get spent. It's actually really is in a fiscally responsible government. That's what it should be. But the big problem is many people think that the money comes from government is free. They just print it up, and the economists that believe this is okay are morons. If you would pick a country which is most likely to look like a dystopian film like Soylent Green or Blade Runner or the numerous other films that truly depict a hellish future, it's a sure bet that China would be the front runner. Nothing against the Chinese people, but the CCP is very similar to the globalists. They are going to run their country the way they want it and have no concern about the freedoms that American families have. There are many Chinese Americans enjoying and seeing the benefits of the freedom they have in the USA. We have to attack China from within and make the people know that they could easily take over the power from the CCP and make China become a democratic republic before it's too late. So in conclusion on this episode, I want to say this. The PDSGs are evil, unqualified people so powerful to dictate their globalist agenda. When I say that these people are spiritual morons or squirmers, as I coined, they simply have zero compassion for the working class. Would you rather have an America with hundreds of thousands of organic farms growing a vast diversity of very healthy vegetables, grain, or meat? Or would you rather have it all controlled by Bill Gates and Michael Bloomberg with huge industrial-type agricultural industrial farms which manufacturing fake meat? You think that you must realize that these people cling on to science in order to make them appear smarter, but in reality they are dumber than a box of rocks. Klaus Schwab is not a scientist. Bill Gates and many other of the so-called high-tech executives are really just a bunch of people at the right place in the right time. Steve Jobs was and will go down in history as a great inventor, but he never pranced around preaching woke politics. That would be beneath him. Wait till August when I show truly how stupid Bill Gates is about trying to design wastewater treatment to end the cholera epidemic disease around the world. But that is truly the reality. We have this small group, just like the Roman elites, who do not deserve their current place, and they will go in the ash heap of and into the high school history books as morons. Trump will be like Caesar, with the exception that he will not get assassinated. Only then can we look forward to preserving the paradise of Earth, and we must fight with every fabric of our souls to defeat the globalists from creating their hell. Next episode, I am going to go through the first three of the seven issues which I felt needed to be resolved in order for Earth to be considered a paradise. Live long and prosper, and by prosper, I mean go out and stay healthy, harness the power of love, and enjoy the paradise of Earth, and think of everything you can do to protect it. Thank you.